Game number 60 for the Boston Celtics this afternoon versus the Miami Heat. This is the Celtics pregame show on CLNS Radio. Thanks for tuning in to CLNS Radio here on the 27th of February, 2016. I am Larry H. Russell, to be later joined by Ethan Skolnick of the Miami Herald, getting you ready for today's matinee at the TD Garden, where the 32-25 Miami Heat take on the 34-25 Boston Celtics. Tip-off is at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and this afternoon's telecast will air locally on Comcast SportsNet New England and 98.5 FM The Sports Hub here on the local airwaves. The Celtics enter the game as 5-point favorites, over-under of 211.5. Today's officials are Mike Callahan, James Williams, and Gediminas Petratis. I hope I got that one right. Anyways, injuries for the Heat. As we all know, Chris Bosh is dealing with a blood clotting issue which shut him down last year and will very likely end his season this year. He's out for today's game along with guards Beno Udric and Tyler Johnson, who are out for the season themselves. And also missing today's game will be Kelly Olynyk, who is still nursing his shoulder injury for Boston. The Celtics are currently on the second game of a 5-game homestand. Got things started off with a victory this past Thursday as they survived the late charge from the Milwaukee Bucks 112-107, while Miami lost their first game after the All-Star break, dropping one at home back on Wednesday to the mighty Golden State Warriors. The Heat made some headways this week as on Friday it was announced that veteran NBA swingman Joe Johnson plans to sign with Miami once he clears waivers. That will not be until this afternoon, so likewise he will not play in today's game. With Chris Bosh on the shelf, Miami's leading scorer is Dwayne Wade. Wade is also second on the team in efficiency, while Hassan Whiteside, will he get the call to start the game, or will he come off the bench for Miami? Whiteside is far and away the team's leader in efficiency, while also leading the team in rebounding, shot blocking, and field goal percentage. The Heat are 21st in offensive efficiency, while defensively they are just behind the Celtics, giving up 105 points per 100 possession. Good for 7th in the NBA. For a more in-depth look at the Heat, let's go to the wall and speak to those butterside downers. Ethan Skolnick, a veteran of many years on the NBA beat, now in his second go-around covering the Heat for the Miami Herald. Ethan is also a drive-time talk radio host on 790 AM, The Ticket down in Miami. Our segment with Ethan is brought to you by SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online? Most sites make it complicated, and they all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That is why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. Listeners of this show get a $20 rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase. A big fat Andrew Jackson back your way. How do you do it? Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code, and enter promo code CelticsBeat. That's CelticsBeat, all one word. CelticsBeat, no space, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first purchase. What a deal. Download the free SeatGeek app to claim your $20 rebate today. To Ethan. Ethan, while the Heat are still in the top quarter of the conference and today's game is for sole possession of that third slot, it actually seems like the Heat have been a slight disappointment. Miami has been good, not great, but like last year, although it is not as significant as it was last year, they've dealt with some injuries. Chris Bosh, many are aware of his situation, which we will get to you with later. But it seems like individually there's been some guys that have not produced at levels they were expected to, i.e. Goran Dragic, i.e. Luol Deng. So Ethan, to the best of your abilities, and we know you have many of those, sum up the story of the book that is the 2016 Miami Heat.
Well, I think it's changing. Let's put it that way. I think the first half of the season was disappointing. A lot of home losses, teams that they shouldn't have lost to. Dragic really struggling to fit with Wade. I think, you know, one of the positives of this season is that Dwayne Wade has been healthy and mostly available. The issue there has been that his game is not a perfect fit with Goran Dragic. So add that to the fact that Goran came in camp in not the best shape. Took him about a month to get in the kind of shape he needed to. He dealt with family issues, a difficult pregnancy this summer, didn't play for the national team. So that took him some time. And so he's just sort of now starting to find himself, find his game. They played faster when Dwayne was out. Now Dwayne's trying to adjust to that. So I think Goran is on the way up. As far as Luol Deng goes, he's also on the way up. I think he's been miscast in Miami as sort of a spread-the-floor shooter for the three position. It's really not who he is. It's never been who he's been. He's a guy who needs to get on the move. And since Chris Bosh's absence in particular, but mostly for the last month of the season, Deng has been playing more at the four spot and getting on the move more often. He's much more comfortable. and now he's coming off four straight double-doubles. So he's playing at his highest level of the season right now.
Miami's also juggled their lineup around, starting lineup around a lot this season. Now, particularly with Bosch out, they've really mixed a few. They've had a lot of mixing and matching. You said they tried Luol Deng at the four spot. Never the recipe for success to be mixing around lineups. Justice Winslow is a name that Celtics fans are familiar, largely due to how Boston, how aggressive Boston was. Usually like to mention the starting lineup in the pregame report, but I actually have no idea. To the best of your abilities, again, do you want to give a prediction on who the Miami will be starting for today?
Yeah, I think I can do that. Now, they're going to be down to 10 guys, and it may be 9 because they're going to come down with some sort of allergic reaction. So they're down to 10 players right now. They've got two open spots. They've got three guys in Oudry, Johnson, and Bosch, who may not play again this season. So that's 5 of the 10 spots. I'm sorry, 5 of the 15 spots. Wade and Dragic will start, barring anything happening to either of them. Deng will start likely at the 4. Justice Winslow at the 3. He got the start in the last game. I think that's something they'll stick with. And I'm assuming Amari Stoudemire starts. But as well as Whiteside has played off the bench, and as much as a lot of us like that role for him because the team plays through him, Eric Spoelstra may reward him for the way that he's handled that and may put him back in the starting lineup for this particular game. So we'll see. But it would be either Amari or Whiteside at the center spot.
Yeah, particularly with how much Boston has struggled against traditional big men. Definitely want to get that a little later in the interview. But real quick on Chris Bosh, it sounds like he's going to miss the rest of the season once again. Now the question is his career. Have you heard anything there in those developments?
Nothing on his career. Look, I mean, obviously it's concerning when you have a recurring situation. He said last year that he did not have the recurring gene, so he didn't think he was going to be dealing with this again. Obviously, that was incorrect. So, look, he dealt with this with Alonzo Mourning about 15 years ago. When you're dealing with a serious health issue, you just don't know if a guy is going to be able to come back and play. In Alonzo's case, after a transplant, he did. This is a different kind of situation. It really comes down to whether Bosch can play without needing blood thinners, because you can't play with blood thinners. It's just too dangerous. I mean, if he takes a shot to the head, I mean, literally, I mean, this sounds morbid, he could die on the court. So they can't take a chance with that. Miami, as far as, you know, everybody loves Chris Bosh down here. I mean, he's one of the best people you can deal with in the league. But I think everybody's really concerned about his health first. I mean, you have to look at the finances of it as well, though. Miami would not, if he does retire, Miami would not get any cap relief until the 2017 summer. So Chris would be on the books for the next season. I know Chris wants to continue playing, so we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, obviously it's been a really painful situation for the Heat to have to go through this again, and for Chris, obviously, personally.
That's something that the NBA community is going to keep their eye on, looking forward to the summer. We've also now talked a lot about what the Heat have done in a concrete sense and a lineup sense without Chris Bosh. They are now 3-1 with him since the All-Star break. What do you think Miami will be doing to sort of, to the best of their abilities, try to make up for Bosh's lost production on the court in terms of their style of play?
Well, they're playing faster. They're playing more to Dragic's style. They have a very, very good record this year when Dragic shoots at least 14 times. They're going to try to get the ball in his hands more often. Again, it's a balance, because the reality is the reason that the Heat's been so good down the stretch this year, okay, Miami's been blown out in a lot of third quarters. Well, when they got in the game to the fourth, with the exception of playing against the juggernaut that is Golden State the other night, they've typically won those games late. And most of that has been because of Wade. So what they have to do is they have to find a balance where Goran kind of sets the tempo for the first three quarters, and then they get the game in position where Dwayne can be basically their Mariano Rivera. And that's kind of what they've set up this year. And Dwayne's been very good at it. He's shooting a very high percentage in clutch situations. He's obviously taken a ton of those shots over the course of his career. And he can get his own shot late or get to the line. He can still do that. But I do think the rest of the game, what you're seeing is they're playing faster. They ran a lot the two games without Dwayne. They ran against Golden State and put up 112 against the Warriors, so I don't think they're going to shy away from playing that style against anybody else.
Going to shift a little bit more to the individual aspect of this game. You mentioned how Hassan Whiteside's been in and out of the starting lineup, particularly these last few games. Boston has struggled with traditional big men all year. Greg Monroe had a big game this past Thursday. That sticks out. Lately, it's been on both ends of the floor as well, and in the games they've lost since the break, Gobert, Favors, Towns, they've beaten the piss out of the Celtics down low. Not that they don't do this already, because he's far and away Miami's best player, although he has been on the bench a little bit. But does that put an even greater emphasis on featuring Hassan Whiteside for today?
It does, but he's not a traditional post player at this stage. You know, and a lot of Heat fans want the Heat to just dump the ball to him in the post. It's not really how he gets his points. Now, he does have some agility down there. He's even shown a face-up jumper of late, which they kind of cringe when he shoots it, but he tends to be making it. But what he really is he's a lob threat. And if he will set a hard pick, which is something that he's started to do lately, they've been all over him on this, and they've got a lot of bigs in this organization who know how to do it, whether it's Amari Stoudemire on the court or Lonzo Mourning in the front office or Juwan Howard on the assistant staff, they've been pushing him to set a harder screen because he's going to get more of those lob opportunities. He and Wade have become very good on that. He and Dragic have hit a couple of lobs in the last couple of games. That's sort of a new thing that they're actually connecting on. So that's how they'll feature him. Now, at times, yes, will they throw it to him in the post? Yes, as long as he doesn't take an extra dribble, he's okay. But when he takes the extra dribble, sometimes the guys go in there, strip the ball out from him. So it's still an evolving thing. Look, he's played, at this point, I think he's still played about roughly 100 NBA games, just above that. So he's basically a second-year player. And so that's the thing. There's still a lot of work to his game. But we've seen there are portions of the game that he can absolutely dominate on both ends.
A lot of playoff implications for this game. These two teams are neck and neck in the standings, tied in the loss column. Boston has two more wins. Ethan, how do you look at the Celtics? And to the best of your abilities, once again, how do you think Miami looks at this Boston team?
They respect them because they respect Brad Stevens. I know Dwayne Wade loves Brad Stevens. It's funny, when I, you know, I spent a lot of time in Cleveland last year with LeBron, and they both have extraordinarily high regard for the Celtics coach. And so I think that's a lot of where the respect starts. I think it's that they believe he's getting the most out of the talent there. They obviously have a lot of regard for Isaiah Thomas. He's hurt them in the past, whether he's playing for Boston or playing for Sacramento or for Phoenix. So I think that there's, again, very high regard for him. And look, they respect this team. They know that they're going to speed them up a little bit. Miami feels like they're better equipped to play fast than maybe they were earlier in the season. We'll see how that goes. But, they take the Celtics very seriously because they always say how well coached they are, how good the scheme is, and really that they're just a difficult matchup that's going to run you the entire game and come at you with a number of different people. So there is definite high regard. We'll see where everybody finishes. Look, I think both teams would like to finish third. No disrespect to Toronto, but that group does not want a playoff series together yet. That's a whole different animal than being in the bracket of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay, hardest question to get you out of there. How do you see this one going down today?
I think the Heat's going to get a split on this trip. They got a back-to-back. They go into New York the next night. I see the Celtics likely winning this game. I think that the 2 days off will help the Heat, as shorthanded as they are. But still, they're down a little bit right now, obviously. And, you know, Josh Richardson gave a great game off the bench the other night. But really, he's their only backup guard, and he's a second-round pick. And I just think there's going to be some rough patches here. And I think a team that sort of knows what it's doing on its home floor, I think is going to be a tough challenge for them at this stage. So I would say the Celtics win. But I do think it's going to be a compelling game because I think Miami's going to push the tempo back at them a little bit.
Compelling segment with Ethan Skolnick. Ethan, columnist at the Miami Herald, and Ethan can be found on Twitter at Ethan J. Skolnick. Thanks so much for providing us your insight.
Thanks a lot.
Seems that whenever the Celtics are in a slot where you think they're in a very good spot to win, middle of a homestand, afternoon game against a team coming in, this is where they usually get tripped up. Not making a prediction. In fact, I've always suggested those with a vested interest in the NBA to fade me. Anyways, projections for today's game. Celtics with a 55% chance of winning. Like that means anything, although it was worth mentioning on this show. Here's what does mean something. The draft pick watch. Dallas Mavericks 122-116. Winners at home in overtime against the Denver Nuggets last night thanks to David Lee's 14-14. The Mavs remain 6th in the Western Conference, but just one game ahead in the loss column from the Utah Jazz, who are on the outside looking in for the playoff picture. And those very Jazz will be in Boston Monday. We'll also mention the Jazz a little later on in the draft pick watch. Let's get to Minnesota. The Timberwolves are in action tonight against the Pelicans down in New Orleans. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And the Brooklyn Nets defeated the Phoenix Suns to firmly entrench themselves as the 4th worst team in the NBA. Phoenix has really fallen apart. Don't think Brooklyn's going to be able to catch them after once Phoenix has passed them. The Nets are in Utah. Those very Jazz. The Nets are in Utah tonight to face the Jazz at 9:30. So a double whammy game there. Now, some programming information on behalf of CLNS Radio. Today's Celtics game will take place in Boston, which means one thing. The Garden Report will air following the game with a post-game show shot in high definition and raw and uncut locker room videos. Watch it at youtube.com/CLNS Radio. That's youtube.com/CLNS Radio following the game. And as always, today's post-game show will go live on clnsradio.com immediately following the final buzzer. If you want to call in and get those voices heard and get on these airwaves, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771, or just go ahead and listen on clnsradio.com. Ticket giveaways, one last chance to enter to win tickets to see the Boston Celtics take on the Portland Trailblazers this Wednesday at the TD Garden, March 2nd. Entry is simple. Follow at Celtics_beat on Twitter. That is at Celtics_beat on Twitter. The winner will be drawn at random and announced on tomorrow's edition of Celtics Beat. So you got one last chance to enter here. Follow at Celtics_beat. And on the February 28th edition of Celtics Beat, that's tomorrow, maybe you will get the lucky call on episode number 146 of Celtics Beat. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher so you don't miss it, because you're not going to want to anyways. President of the Boston Celtics, Rich Gotham, will be tomorrow's featured guest. Again, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and clnsradio.com. We will see you then, and we will be back here in this space on Monday for the Celtics' return bout against the Utah Jazz. I will once again be joined by Jazz Radio play-by-play voice David Locke. But that is then. We thank Ethan Skolnick of the Miami Herald for offering up his time today, and we thank you for listening as always. For today's Boston Celtics pregame show with LHR on CLNS Radio, this is LHR signing off.